WTBQ. Hello and welcome to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And I hope you're doing well in our very hot weather here. And we're going to talk about you today. We're going to talk, and I want everybody to really listen up to me, because I want to talk about some of the things that might be holding you back in life. Some of the things that are holding you back from being successful in any area of your life. You might be a great success in business and not so much in your personal life, or vice versa. You might constantly find yourself stuck in the same place and not being able to get out of it. Some patterns that always pop up in your life and you're not quite sure why. Are you constantly thinking about the things you want and really working hard for but not getting there? This is not just you. This is all of us. So don't feel that we're picking on you if somebody's going, well, they know me. Or maybe you don't even think it's you. Maybe you think you're absolutely getting everywhere you want to be, and I hope you are. But for many of us, and myself included at times, there's no question, we have things holding us back. And what's holding us back is usually from previous things that did not allow us to grow, or limits that we set or were set by other people, and there are unconscious loyalties. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, listen up, because we are going to talk to psychology team, husband and wife, Judith and Jim. They are going to join us and talk about their wonderful program, Overcoming the Fear of Being Fabulous, which is really about being the total you and not holding yourself back. You might have seen Judith and Jim on things like Oprah, The View, 48 Hours, MSNBC, CNN. They are written up in tons of places, Wall Street Journal, Los Angeles Times. I could go on and on. They are certainly media darlings. And they have discovered the core issue that holds people back from the success they desired, and they call it overcoming the fear of being fabulous. And I want to welcome Judith and Jim to Shannon's Corner. How are you guys today?
We are good, Shannon. It is wonderful to be with you.
Good morning, Shannon.
Well, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us. You know, as I say this, I'm thinking, well, a lot of people think this is not them, and hopefully it's not. But I know you have said this, because I have listened to your tapes, which I find are absolutely brilliant and can help all of us, that this is true of everybody who walks this earth, that we all have limitations, we all have things that stop us, and we all have these deeper, this need to look deeper so that we don't limit ourselves in ways. You call it advancing beyond your station. What does that mean? Because most of us would think that that goes way back to the old terms of, you know, people have limits, and kind of like in India that we have stations. That's not exactly what you mean, is it?
No, not at all. First of all of us have limits that are self-imposed. We have limits that are organic or perhaps genetic. There's nothing we can do about that. But the self-imposed limits that we have can be changed and can open up to lead, to help people lead beyond them. That's what we mean by overcoming the fear of being fabulous. Now, with regard specifically to advance beyond your station, what that means is that we all have a place in life, not a political place, not a theological place, but the place that we have been raised in, that we have come to believe is reality, that we have committed to consciously and unconsciously, and those places, those states of being, let me put it that way, those states of being are limited. They are limited not because people are bad, but because people are people, and we grow up and we take in what's around us, and we adapt to it as though that's all there is. And by station, we simply mean where you are now and moving beyond that to where it is you consciously say you want to go. And the distinction between conscious and unconscious is critical here.
And just to give you an example, and everybody listening, a client years ago told me that she had grown up on a farm in Iowa, and she was very intelligent, and she'd gotten into college, but she wanted to go to Europe before she went to college. And the father's position was, people like us don't do that. And he was pronouncing the station that he expected her to stay in.
And do we unconsciously, many of us would say consciously, we don't believe that, I'm not like that, you know, I can go anywhere I want to go, I've read these affirmations, you know, I really believe it. Do we unconsciously hold ourselves back, even though we consciously think we can do anything we want?
Yes, because that programming for every single one of us, we have unconscious programming that went into our minds, our unconscious minds, when we were tiny little people. When everybody needs to understand this, that when we're born, only 25% of the full mature weight of our brain is in place. So that little baby's brain and toddler is taking in all the information of the environment it's growing up in as reality. And it cannot judge otherwise because it doesn't have the discriminating power. So even though we may consciously think we can make any decision we want, mm-hmm. unless we tackle what those unconscious holdbacks are, we have limitations.
Is this why people don't find themselves where they want to be? They're constantly unhappy or complaining or feeling they're not getting somewhere. Some blame others, some blame themselves, and they just feel like I keep working for something and I'm not getting there. What am I doing wrong? And maybe on the outside they're not doing anything wrong. Are these the unconscious loaders being conscious and loyal to our parents or unconsciously loyal to our parents and their limitations?
A lot of people, when they hear the phrase loyal to our parents, sort of freak out and say things like, grow up and stop blaming people.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, it's not our parents in as though they are the object. It's the environment in which we were raised. If you were raised, like I was, in Southwest factory working Detroit, with a heavy Catholic overtone of stay in place and obey the rules, and not just obey the rules, because rules are important, but if you do not obey the rules, then there are eternal consequences to pay. And you don't question that, then that's the reality you live within. Now, if you grow up in Westchester County, New York, where there's tons of money, you grow up in an entirely different atmosphere. That's not to say that there aren't troubles.
Right.
There can't be trouble in Westchester, but that's an entirely different atmosphere. If you grow up the children of Barack Obama, that's an entirely different atmosphere, and life is very different from each one of those people. Now, that being the case, the people who are trying to get somewhere, and they keep extending themselves but never making it, they are being held back by unconscious ideas, beliefs, attitudes, commitments that we call loyalties that are keeping them in a particular state of mind and a particular state of being. And one of the major clues that that's happening is when people repetitively try to do something and fail at it and not succeed at it and not move forward. That's a clear sign that something unconscious is holding you down.
And not, you see, I can think of some people I know that kind of don't get where they want to go, and they
right.
think it's other things in their way. It's
exactly.
not them. If they didn't choose this project, or if they hadn't had that job, or if they did this different, then they would get there, or everything fell apart. It's the economy. You're saying that if that's the case in your life, you need to look at what unconscious things are holding you back, and that is true with all of us, right?
All of us. And the truth of the matter is, this is where it gets really tricky.
Mm.
And that is, it can be something on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's like people, I'm going to give you a very, very extreme example. But in domestic violence situations where people are hurting each other,
mm-hmm.
the recidivism rate in domestic violence is 85%. Meaning, 85% of the people who get out of a domestic violence relationship go right back in. And why? Because they don't know anything else. Now, is the environment supportive and assisting in their misery and their woe? Of course it is. But their being in the environment is what they have to look at. Because I go there by my choice, and I go there and I comply with what's going on, so I can't blame just the environment, although sometimes the environment is very oppressive.
Mm-hmm. So what happens when we look at this, and how do we look at it? I mean, this all sounds very plausible, and we could get there, but for many of us,
right.
going there is a really tough thing to do. I mean, it's digging deep. Can we do it alone? Do we need help? Your tapes are amazing. Your CDs in this program are amazing, and they help you go there. They help you recognize that this is everyone, and there's these limitations that are beyond our visual knowledge of ourselves, but how can we get there? Can everybody get fixed from this?
Well, I think the answer is no, not everybody. First of all, not everybody wants to be. Secondly, not everyone is willing to dig deep enough to unearth some really painful material that they would rather not look at.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have just washed their hands of their past and they are determined to sort of stormtrooper through the rest of their lives. But for anyone who is willing to commit to looking at the patterns in their lives and seeing what's the root of that, where did that come from? I mean, typically, one of the words that's really important for people to grasp is familiar, because the root of that word is family.
Uh-huh.
And when we, for instance, just an example, Shannon, when we marry, we create a new family. And one place for people to look is, how are they repeating patterns in their current marriage or their current romantic relationship that reflect how their parents behaved as family, as a married couple, when they were a child? And that question can often open up a new insight into why the current marriage is having difficulty, is because often, and Jim and I used to do tons of marriage counseling, often the wife is being more loyal to her parents and the husband is being more loyal to his parents, and they are trying desperately to reenact their parents' marriages instead of creating their own.
And Shannon, I want to make a point here when Judith said they're loyal to, like, she's loyal to her family and he's loyal to his family.
Mm-hmm.
What that means specifically is that they are unconsciously wanting the marriage and the family that they're in to reflect that family. And both of them are doing it. And when we were used to work with people and we would finally open that up, you could see the literal, how literal it was, how absolutely literal. And there are behaviors that you can see. Like, for example, she talks to her mother every day. And I'm not blaming women, but let's say she talks to her mother every day. People think, oh, that's really terrific. And it can be if you are free from the pull of where you've come from. But if you're not, the talking to your mother every day, whether it's her or him, is a way of staying where you were and wanting that past to become planted into the present. There are clues all over the place, but the single most important clue that people who are listening can get without having to do, without having to need anyone else's help, or perhaps they can talk to their friends, is you repeat a behavior. You say you want something, you go after it, and you don't get it, and you repeat that kind of process again and again. What it's telling you is, whatever, regardless of what your conscious mind and you and your conscious mind are saying and believe is real, what's more real is the fact that you keep not getting there, and the point being that something unconsciously is holding you back and tripping you up. Repetitive behavior that is unsuccessful is a major, major clue. It's like saying, I'm going on a diet, and then you eat a donut. It's not really the truth. Your consciousness is not really moving forward in going on a diet. Your unconsciousness is feeding you donuts.
So it's not really looking at the past and going into psychotherapy of digging up every little thing in your life. It's more looking now at the patterns and why they stop you. So instead of, and I don't want to say wasting the time in huge amounts of therapy talking about all this stuff, we need to look at where we are now, what's not working, and if it leads us to the past and it's stuff we have to clean up there, then we have to get it done to move forward. In other words, it's a big barrier we got to jump over and we got to figure out how to get there. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the things that are holding you back. So listen to us, because Judith and Jim have an awful lot to say about overcoming our fear of being fabulous. Stay where you are. We'll be back here in just a few on WTVQ.
When my construction, WTBQ, AM 1110 and FM 93.5, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ.
Hi, and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and don't go anywhere. We are talking about being the best you can be in every way, having nothing hold you back. And that's called overcoming the fear of being fabulous. And my guest, psychology team and husband and wife, which I always get because it's a very long way to say that they are both doctors, they are both psychologists, and they are married to each other. And they have this wonderful program out called Overcoming the Fear of Being Fabulous. Dr. Judith Shervin and Jim Snikowski are married, as I said. And by the way, you can go to their website, Judith and Jim, spell out and, Jim.com. Wonderful website that will tell you everything about them. And go on Shannon's Corner and you can order this program, Overcoming the Fear of Being Fabulous. And if you just joined us, we were talking about the limits that we limit ourselves about, even though we don't know it. These are called the unconscious loyalties. And if you find yourself kind of getting stuck in different places in your life and doing the same pattern over and over and not getting where you want to be, this could be you with these unconscious loyalties. And before we took a break, we were talking about how these things, you know, you get to a point in life, right, guys, that you want to keep moving forward. And there's this big block, and many people don't want to go and work at doing it, like, because it's hard, it takes work, it's fearful, it's scary. They think, why do I need to do that? But you need to do that if you find yourself doing the same thing over and over again and not getting where you want to go, right?
Well, absolutely, and the payoff is huge. And let me just give everyone an example of a client that we had years ago who called himself a hothead. And he had lived with being very angry most of his life. And then he fell in love with a wonderful woman who really wasn't about to put up with how frequently he would blow up and be mad. But upon investigation, he had a really sensitive nerve to any kind of criticism, because when he was growing up, his parents and grandparents frequently said to him, how come you're not as good as your cousin? How come you only got a B+? How come? He unconsciously was still living in that environment, and any time now as a grown-up he felt put down, he would blow. But he didn't have any conscious awareness that he was really blowing up and being angry at how he had been raised. It was taking the form of anger now. And when he saw that, he could reverse it quite easily.
You know, so this brings up a really good point that I wanted to get to, is that this doesn't show up just in professional success. This shows up in relationships, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Most often in relationships, because it gets really intimate. And what the intimacy does is it opens up deeper parts of ourselves. When you're out on the street, you got your street face on, you know, and it still can happen there. And when you're work, you got your work face. But at home, where the intimacy is real, there's more available to the relationship. And that's when that stuff can actually become become clear and problematic.
So if you find yourself getting out of a relationship after, you know, your relationships are always good in the beginning, and then you've got to start doing the work.
Right.
So if you
right.
find that you can't do the work and you continually go through a relationship, this is a big red flag, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
And people so often say, oh, well, if I, you know, find somebody new. The problem is that you will find somebody new who in the long run will turn out to be very similar to who you've been with before, because the unconscious pattern is running your selection process. That's what needs to be disrupted.
Mm-hmm. So when we see these patterns come up, whether it be in businesses or we're just talking about in personal, this is when we need to look a lot deeper than we're looking. And that negative head talk, because I know you talk about that, the person could just say, well, that's my negative head talk. I'm not looking for the right person, or I just don't feel good enough. It's deeper than that, isn't it?
Well, it's deeper in the sense, yes, the head talk is a symptom. So if you've got voices, and I don't mean voices like, you know, insanity, but if you've got voices going on in your head that are saying, that's not for you, you can't do that, or that's really a bad choice, or boy, did you make a stupid error there, et cetera, et cetera. What you have is you have a kind of cast of characters in your head and in your consciousness that's going to keep you restricted. Those voices happen for everyone at the highest levels. We've worked with top executives in the country, and even in those instances, they hear the same kinds of voices. What we do is we just assume and take them for granted, but they need not continue to persist and make you smaller than you actually could be.
So this is not uncommon to have this head talk, but it's about working past it. What about a sense of hopelessness, though? Or what about a sense of thinking, this doesn't affect me at all? I'm fine without any of this, you know, and even if my life is not working. Do we have some sort of negativity about this, that no one really wants to delve into this because it's just too complicated?
Well, yes, and often it's going to be painful. The problem is that if you have walled off what happened to you when you were a kid, and you say to yourself, oh, I've forgiven my parents, I've made peace with what happened when I was young, you have, in essence, made yourself dead to all of that fertile, rich information. And then what we see is in the adult life, the person says, well, I don't really know what to do with myself. Well, I don't really know how to go and meet a good man. Well, I don't really know, because they don't have access to themselves at any deep level. So that's what Jim and I, you know, really urge people to understand, that the only way to be truly lively and effective in your life is to own all that you are.
Mm-hmm. Wow. But that's really hard sometimes, to own all that we are. And it's very frightening to go there. And for a lot of people, I can just hear them saying, I don't want to go back there. I mean, what is past is past. Why do we care? I mean, this is the present. Do we care that much about the past? And what I hear you're saying is, you, if you want a good present and a great future, you have to dig just deep enough to change it, right?
Absolutely. You can take, I'm going to give you another large dramatic example. If you were raised in say Paris or London in the, during the Second World War, and there were bombs falling all over the place, that says that life is a pretty scary place to be.
Well, you know what's scary right now, Jim? I have to interrupt you because it's scary that we have to go,
because
I just heard that bumper music, so we got to go. But I thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully you can join us again maybe next week, where we can talk more about this, because we want your life to be fabulous and nothing to stand in your way. And Judith and Jim are the ones to do that. Go to Shannon's Corner, learn everything about them, get the program, make your life fabulous so you can be all that you can be. We got to wrap it up for today, but thanks for joining us. And until next time, don't forget to make good choices.